Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppy Hunt Productions. I'm your host, Sean, other host that nobody cares about, Danny. How goes it, man?
Dude, it's amazing. I'm on, like, a self-declared three-day weekend.
Self-declared?
Yeah, like, I hadn't missed a day of work. Like, I hadn't used a sick day since July, and I still have, like, had more than half of my sick days, and I get them back at the end of March. Uh-huh. And so Friday I woke up and it was like raining and there was like thunder and lightning going on. And then I was like thinking about some of the people I worked with and I just didn't want to deal with them and the rain. So I was already like pretty annoyed and I hadn't even like gotten out of bed yet.
Yeah.
Like, and so I woke up and I like was still like debating whether I should go to work or not. So I like packed my lunch. I like started to get ready. I took a shower. I got out of the shower and then I went back to bed.
And when you woke up, you ate your lunch.
Well, I woke up when my wife woke up, so it was still early, so it was like breakfast time.
Did you just look at her and you're just like, I can't do it. I can't face the world today.
Well, it's not even the world. It's just some of my coworkers. Yes, I've already yelled at one of them to the point where he went like, because he doesn't even work like on my. He works with a different ship, but they put him in the same area as me.
Yeah.
And apparently I yelled at him too much one time and he was talking to his management and saying that he was going to go to HR. And so like his like full timer came up to me and like I knew him. Like I worked with him and he was my part-time supervisor at one point and he came up and was like, "Hey, did you cuss at him? Did you call him names or whatever?" And like this, and I'm like, "No, why?" And he's like, "Oh, cuz he threatened to go to HR and said you did." And I'm like, "Look, man. You know me. I don't call people names. I might have, you know, said things to him and in saying so swore, but I didn't necessarily call him names." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "All right, just, you know, like, try not to talk to him." And I'll calm him down. So I was like, "All right, cool." So yeah, I didn't want to deal with that guy. And then other people on my second shift.
You got you.
There's a guy that decided out of the blue that he would give me the nickname of Sunny D.
So your new name is Sunny D?
Apparently to him, yes.
It's the We Are Adult Show with Sean and Sunny D. Boom.
Yes.
It'd make more sense if your last name had started with a D, maybe, but I don't know. Like, where did Sunny D come from?
I didn't even ask you, and I didn't give him a response, which is probably why it only lasted a couple days.
That's fair. man, I think, like, hipster, you know, brew guy. I think there's a lot of other insulting, but at least the nickname would make sense kind of names.
Right, he's like full on like Norco redneck. Like during the summer we wear
like
a
little slice of Cowtown in Southern California. Yeah, Norco.
When it's hot out, when it's sunny out and hot, we wear like the wide brim like hats, the sun hats.
Yeah,
you know that traditionally like gardeners wear, and he basically was like, "Oh, you guys are wearing your cucaracha hats."
As he wore a cowboy hat and boots?
Not the boots. He just showed up like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago with a cowboy hat. A white one.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
No, but we didn't either.
Just knock his hat off.
And
just tell him how he's gonna work so little since he's wearing a white hat.
Yeah, he doesn't really work that much. He's trying to take over, like, and be the supervisor. It's pretty funny. He doesn't, even though he's only been there for like a couple months. And
Sunny D, I'm gonna need you to move those boxes over there and help that guy because we gotta get out of here because teamwork and shit. Yeehaw!
And it's more like, "Hey, why don't you guys go do this so like I can just stand over here and not do anything?"
Do you just look at him and go, "You're not my supervisor"?
Yeah, well, I don't even acknowledge him. Like, he doesn't even try anymore. Now that we got people with less anywhere than him, he tries to boss them around. But then I guess his housekeeper caught COVID, and so he missed a couple days. He missed work because of it, but then he was like, "I don't even know why I have to miss work. It's not like I, like, even, like, communicate with her in any way." And it's like, "Whoa, whoa, slow down there."
I didn't even get the COVID.
Yeah, so... it's fun. That's why I was just like, "All right, man, I don't want to deal with this shit on a rainy Friday."
Maybe he would have wore a different cowboy hat. because the white one would have got ruined in the rain.
I didn't even want to find out. Like, he wore it on a windy day and was talking about how he had to, like, go chase it down. Because it blew off his head.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's too funny. Yeah, so what are you drinking today, Sean?
Let's see. What am I drinking? I forgot. It's some raspberry thing. So from Weldworks Brewing out in Colorado, I got the Raspberry Coconut Vanilla Sour. It's a sour wheat ale with nearly 1,000 pounds of raspberry puree, hundreds of pounds of coconut milk, sugar, and vanilla. Oh yeah, see that's a lot better than last week. Last week was too ridiculous. This is just like perfect. You got tartness, you got some raspberry going on. You got a thumbs up from me.
It's not gonna give you indigestion? Or has it already given you indigestion on your first drink?
I don't feel like I'm fighting against a 5-year old on the sugar scale of who could get hyper first. The coconut is a lot more subtle in this, where it's not like, you know, on the end, like last week at the end of your palate, it was just like, I'm coconut, hammer, hammer, hammer. So this is a lot more undertoned, and the I think the milk sugar just kind of makes it more, just more balanced. It's not like it's like swigging, like I said, a bunch of sugar down. So this one's pretty darn good, so I would recommend this one.
You didn't crack open a coconut and just pour like a bunch of sugar in there and like scrape out the meat with the sugar.
Yeah, and drink it out of the coconut.
Yes.
Put the lime in the coconut and shake it all up. Oh, what about you, Danny? What are you drinking?
You know what, Sean? Sometimes I'm amazed at our symbiosis. I'm drinking. I mean, it's not like the same, but it's close enough. I'm drinking.
Dude, you don't even understand, man. Like, this is how I have to drink a beer because there's so much fucking beer in my keyser now, and I think we just got a box full of more beer. So like, I don't even know whose fucking beer is who. So now I just look for something with milk sugar because I know it's mine. Like, I have to drink it. Like, regardless if we bought it, my dad bought it, bought it off Tavor or whatever, it's just like, I can't keep track, man. Just fuck.
it's like when people have kids and the kids are doing amazing and the person telling the story is like, oh yeah, my child is a genius. Or when the kids are acting up and it's like, your child is being a piece of shit. It's like that. It's like, your beer is full of milk sugar.
Yeah. I have the good ones. Yeah.
Well, I guess that depends on... From a certain point of view, according to the Sith.
Exactly. Like, I drank a beer, like, a couple weeks ago, and I got, like, the death glare. It was, like, after the show, and it was just like, that was my beer that you drank. I was like, I don't even know anymore.
Tell her she needs to, like, be, like, a good roommate and at least mark the can. Like, if she wants to claim something as hers, she needs to, like, write her name on it.
Yeah, we might have to clean it out and do a left side, right side kind of thing.
that only works in sitcoms where they just like tape put a tape or rope or something down the middle of the room and say, you stay on that side and I stay on this side. Might just be easier if she just went through and claimed what she wanted, because then you don't have to do any work. Just put it all on her.
That's true.
Like, you know what? It's like, look, if you don't want me drinking certain beers, go in there and like write your name on them. Or else I'll drink them all. And then it's your fault, not mine, because you didn't write your name on it.
Yeah.
But I'm drinking, the beer I'm drinking is a Bottle Logic beer called Aborescence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hazelnut berry stout.
Hmm. Very nice.
So it's an imperial stout aged in craft whiskey barrels, then finished with hazelnuts, blackberries, and allspice.
Ah. The allspice.
I don't know what they consider to be craft whiskey barrels.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's just their way of like not having to say what actual barrels they put in. But like, enough. You know, like any good Bottle Logic, you know, stasis barrel aged beer, it just on the nose just smells completely of the barrel, the whiskey.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's. I was a little nervous, Sean.
Were you?
I was worried that like I would be tasting all the allspice. But it's there a little bit. It's like there, like it's not like the coconut where it's like bashing my palate, but it's just there to let me know that there is a little flavor in there that isn't like whiskey and berry.
A gentle touch on the back, just to let you know I have arrived.
Right. It's like when you get something that's like has that good spice, like something spicy where it's, you know, not like you're the moron that's sitting there eating hot wings and like your nose is running and you're sweating and your eyes are watering and you're like, oh. This is really good, and it's like bullshit, dude. Like the only time you're gonna suffer more than you are eating it is when you're like finished digesting it, and you have lava butthole. You know, you just want like something where like you know you eat something and it's like got a good nice spice to it. And it just kind of coats the tongue and maybe makes you want to have a drink of a beer to kind of quell that a little bit. Yeah, that's like this with the allspice. It's just there to give it a different flavor than the berries.
Mm.
And it comes in at a friendly 15.21%.
15%?
Yes.
Wow.
So we'll see where I end up at the end of this show.
That's too funny. I'm just staring outside the window. We're getting a snowstorm over here on the East Coast.
Yeah, like, the weather lied to us this week. They said it was supposed to rain every day last week, and it only rained a little bit on Friday.
That's
like,
it.
Overnight, pretty much, and then a little bit
enough
in the morning.
To make you call off?
Enough to, like, make me, like, not want to feel annoying people, yes. And then it was supposed to rain tomorrow, but now it's supposed to rain Wednesday instead of tomorrow, and it's only a 30% instead of like a 60% for tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, it's too hot out there, man. It just started going. It was like, we're coming together, we have moisture. Never mind.
Pretty much, yes. Like I mentioned, like I said in the not safe for work section of the group chat, you know, someone talked about how, like, when it comes to this, snow, is like there's like some people's sex lives, it's like you're promised. You know, 8 inches, but maybe you only get a couple.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, we were promised we were going to be wet all week, but we only got a little damp on Friday. And then Heather had to ruin it by bringing in people getting lost in the mountains. Fucking Heather has to ruin everything.
Pretty much.
So, speaking of people and things that are ruining everything, Sean... Do you go on your Facebook often or at all?
Not very much.
Have you been, like, have you gone onto it and been logged out for no reason other than, like, it just logged you out?
No.
So, it's happened to me a couple times where I've, like, tried to go into Facebook and it's like, your session has expired, and then I have to re-enter my password.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened to me a few times. Like, a couple months ago was the first time, and then, like, this week or last week... A couple of people, like, posted on Facebook that they're like, what's wrong going on with Facebook? Why am I getting logged out? Why is my session being expired? Are they censoring me? And it's like, well, if they're censoring you, they wouldn't allow you to post this on Facebook. Like, I don't think a company that's censoring you would allow you to post about them censoring you on their own service, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just a really shitty conspiracy. And it's a really, really shitty conspiracy. And it's like, that makes me, I see that and I'm like, wow, maybe I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, because like when it happened to me, I was like, oh, it must be a security thing. Cause I know, like Mark Zuckerberg is very, very unhappy with Apple right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their new security settings with their latest updates. Basically where people can stop, Facebook from accessing their data, their either. And selling it off for money. And so Mark Zuckerberg's like, yeah, the security on Apple is going to cost us money and maybe even put us out of business.
Jeez.
So it's like, maybe that's why I'm getting locked out then, is because Apple's like, fuck that, dude. Like, if you're not using your, you know, we'll like protect you. Like, if you're not using Facebook, we'll just log you out and so that they can't randomly access your data whenever they want. But yeah, it's fun watching people like who think everything is a conspiracy theory, like the most normal common thing.
I just try not to talk to people. It makes or understand them. It makes my life a lot easier.
Right. The more I go on like the internet, the more I realize that like my choice to not talk to people is probably the smartest decision out there.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. It's like when somebody comes up to me and go, "Why would they do this?" and I just go, "I don't know. I don't try to think about that, and I just try to move on with my life because I have other things to do."
Yes, at my job, whenever like management makes a decision, like, "Oh my god, I can't believe they would do that. Why would they do that?" I'm like, "Look, man, the only thing you're gonna get from trying to figure out what management's doing is more confused and a headache. So just know that it's a management decision, and it'll probably be like they'll make a decision that they're gonna do something, and then about a month or so later, they'll forget about it, and it'll go back to normal. It happens all the time.
Yeah,
especially this time of year when it's slow." Oh man, but speaking of conspiracies, man, there's this like I'm subscribed, I have an account on Reddit, but I don't I'm not subscribed to any subreddits. I just basically let the front page guide me to where it guides me.
Yeah,
because sometimes I find some gold, but like most of the time it's just random stuff. But the last week or so it's been full of Wall Street bets and different Wall Street stuff, because a group of people on Reddit realized that some of the brokerage firms were overextending GameStop stock in an effort to short sell it, and yeah, basically like they were trying to bankrupt GameStop to their own profits, because they at one point GameStop shares were selling for $20 a share.
Yep.
And they gambled that the stock would drop. And so there's a system where basically like they don't have to buy the stock, they can just borrow it, and then at the end of the day, they'll basically sell it back for the difference between what it was worth. And so if it's worth less money, they've made a profit. So basically they'll sell it for 20 and then buy it back for 6, and then they'll have the $14 per share profit, right? Mm.
Yeah.
And so brokerage firms have been doing this for years. There's like video of Jim Cramer, one of the main CNBC correspondents, going back as far as like 2005, explaining about how brokerage firms and even himself is doing this. And so there's a couple people on Reddit on the Wall Street Bets, the main like people that run it, saw that they had short sold over 100% of GameStop's stock. Like they had 140% of GameStop stock was floating out there. And so they're like, "Well, fuck it, let's buy it. Let's buy it all." And so now all of a sudden the stock was going up. At one point it was like it went from like $20 to $500. And you had all these like brokerage firm companies coming out and saying that they're manipulating the market and it's illegal. And it's like, no, we're just doing what you guys have been doing. And they're like, "Well, yeah, but when we do it, it's fine because we're not hurting anybody. We're not hurting you. You're hurting us. We're only hurting the company and the people that work for it."
Yeah, the free market's only free if it's helping the rich.
Exactly. Like, and so there's this app that people have been trading through called Robinhood.
Mm-hmm.
And Robinhood is actually owned by one of the major brokerage firms. And so, like, they're going out of their way, like, to limit the amount of, like, stocks that – the term for like us, like if we were stock trading, it was like retail traders, like we're buying retail. Yeah. And so they're like, "Well," and they're stopping the sale of GameStop to retail traders under the guise of protecting them from themselves. And yeah. So, and also the other thing brokers can do that retail traders can't do is trade after hours. So like during the week, last week, overnight GameStop stock dropped because the brokerage firms were trading the stocks that they had lower to intentionally drop the price, like doing what they're saying that the retail traders were doing, manipulating the market, as opposed to the retail traders. It's like, "What do you mean we're manipulating the market? You guys are selling stocks and we're buying it. How is that manipulating the market? It's not our fault that you overextended and did 140%. And so I was reading this thing, and it's kind of long, but it was interesting, that basically his conspiracy theory is, and he has evidence as far as numbers and stuff to back it up, so it's not like flat earth conspiracy or like Facebook is logging us out conspiracy, but that The retail traders have ended up buying more than 100% of GameStop's shares. Because that was a, you know, because like I said, at the beginning, there was like 140% out there floating. And so they have more than 100%. And so if the basically, if the brokerage firms, if they bought it, if they sold it at 20 and then they have to buy it back to give to the people that they borrowed it from.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they, if so, like, it'd be like if I let you, like, say I had like GameStop stock at 20 and you're like, hey, let me borrow the stock. So then I give it to you and then you sell it for 20. And then later on down the road, it's for going for $6. Then you buy it, like you sell it to someone for 20, mm-hmm. and then you buy it back from them from six later, and then, or you sell it back to the person you borrowed it from for six, and then you keep the 14. So now, basically, if people that sold it at 20, it's at 500. So for every share they had, they're going to have to pay $480. Have you ever seen the movie Trading Places?
No, I didn't.
It's an older movie. It has Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. And basically, like, Dan Aykroyd's a stockbroker, and his bosses make this bet that they, anybody off the street, and make them, one of them thinks that they could, like, they'll, like, still be a criminal is always a criminal, and one of them's like, no, if you give them the means, they'll better themselves. And so they bring Eddie Murphy off the street, and they switch places with Dan Aykroyd. And at the end, they get revenge on them, because they're going to manipulate the future market on orange juice. And so there's this whole thing, and at the end, like, the bosses, their traders on the floor, like buying a whole bunch, and somebody's like, wait, this guy's buying a bunch of stuff. They must know something. And they look up at the window and see them watching, and they're like, they know something. And so they keep buying too, and they rise the prices up. So that's basically what Reddit's doing. Game Street, you know, the Wall Street Bets is like, hey, these guys have extended themselves. We can get it for cheap. And if we all buy it, keep buying it, then we'll raise the price and then we can sell it. It's not a conspiracy, and it's not manipulating the market, even though CNBC, who's, again, owned by one of the brokerage firms as well, is trying to paint them out to being,
yeah,
like, anti-capitalism. And even, like, they even had, like, the guy who's, like, in charge of the stock brokers and stuff out there saying that they're only doing this because they hate rich people. They don't want the money themselves. They're just trying to make us poor.
Oh, yeah, because everybody's just like, screw thousands of dollars,
right? Or millions of dollars for some people.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it's just funny, like, because so, like, Reddit right now, the front page, like, all, like, even just like the random meme pages and subreddits are like just full of like GameStop stuff. It's pretty fun to watch.
Pretty much,
yeah. It's basically, you know, like, it's like how Trump's presidency forced people like to get into pay attention to politics that probably didn't care previously. This is starting to get people to pay attention to Wall Street and what they're doing and how they're making money. It's like somebody tweeted, it's like, I love Wall Street. When the stock prices go up, we get nothing, but when they drop, we lose our jobs.
Pretty much.
Oh man, but on a better note, Sean. Apparently Ryan Reynolds is getting a new TV show where he just gets to be the Ryan Reynolds-iest that he can be.
Yeah, I was watching the trailer for it. It actually does seem pretty interesting, and it kind of like an out of, it's like a, you know, it's an out there kind of idea, especially since with the pandemic and everything kind of going on.
Yeah, it looked like he filmed it definitely like during the pandemic, because everything's like over Zoom,
mm-hmm.
or Discord or something, like some video chat. But it's called Ryan Doesn't Know, and he's going to learn how to do all sorts of things, from doing makeup to like making ice sculptures and just being Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a., you know, Deadpool in real life.
Right.
I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't like Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know either, man.
I mean, he is one charming son of a bitch.
That's fair.
It's like, you know, they have that, you know, that same expression, you know, he can charm the pants off of her. And it's like, he might charm the pants off of me, too. Like, it's like, I look over, it's like, why are my wife's pants off? Wait, where are my pants off? It's hashtag some homo.
Some homo. Pretty much.
Oh man, but yeah, it looks pretty funny. I don't know where for sure it's gonna be. It's probably gonna be on one of the streaming services that I don't have.
Of course,
even if I have all the main ones, because though he's got to make a new streaming service to make people miss cable. I was listening to a podcast and they talked about this movie that sounded amazing. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, they don't have the DVD on Netflix. It's like one of the few times that Netflix DVD has let me down.
Jeez.
And so I saw that it was on Hulu and I'm like, I have Hulu. And then I looked and it's part of like the Showtime premium bundle. So I have to pay $10.99 a month for Showtime to watch a movie.
Mm.
It's called Anna and the T-Rex, or Tammy and the T-Rex. I'm sorry. And basically it stars Denise Richards and Paul Walker as a couple and he dies too soon, bro. But he dies and they decide to put his brain inside of an animatronic T-Rex.
Mm.
And it was made in 1994, so it's got to be like, it's like prime, like hot Denise Richards.
Yeah.
And prime, like campy, cheesy, like horror movies. I might even just pay the money to subscribe to Showtime on Hulu for like a month, just, or even do the free trial and probably forget to cancel it. Oh man, but another trailer that came out, dude, was a new Disney movie called Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yeah, that one was pretty interesting.
It looked like a better Mulan, is what people were saying in the comments.
Live action or the actual movie?
Live action.
Oh, well, of course, anything's probably better than the live action.
I didn't think it was as bad as people said, but I also went into it knowing people said it was that bad. It's like, by the time I finally watch Wonder Woman, I'll probably be like, yeah, it wasn't that bad, because everybody that I know and people and trust their opinions on say it sucks.
That's fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like it's like the opposite of buying into the hype. Like I'm like buying into the anti-hype. And it's like, oh man, this movie's gonna suck. And then I watch it. And it's like, hey, there was actually some pretty good parts in it. Like not all of it, but I didn't hate myself after watching it. But apparently Awkwafina is going to be like a new reoccurring voice in Disney movies, and I love it because she has a great voice and she's hilarious. Because she's also cast in the live action Little Mermaid as one of her friends. I don't remember which one, maybe the seagull or the, not the crab, but yes, or not, maybe the crab or the seagull, but I can't remember. And I'm sure I could look it up, but it's not that important. But my point is Awkwafina. Hilarious. But it does look pretty good, and it's probably going to be one of those where it's going to be like $30 on Disney Plus, or you can go see it in theaters, but like $30 for a couple months and then it'll be free again. Well, at least part of the service.
Yeah, it's, no, probably, which I mean, also, that seems to be the new Disney thing,
which is also probably why I didn't hate Mulan as much, because I wasn't an idiot and didn't pay the $30 for it. I waited until it was included in my service. But then, and then finally, Sean, we got the trailer we've been waiting for. Godzilla vs. Kong. What did you think of it?
I feel like that monkey is going to get his ass whooped. But,
that's what everybody in the comments said, too, yes.
Yeah, but I'm sure this is going to be like anything else where it's like, you know, they fight for a little bit, and then there's ends up being an evil monster, and then they give each other the head nod. Then they beat the shit out of the monster. Then they go drink some natty ice and play some GameCube. And you know where it goes from there.
Right, because, you know,
if you knew anything about random shit in the 2000s.
Or even just, like, in the original Godzilla when it came out, like, the 60s or 70s, where it was, like Mechagodzilla's going to come out or something from, like, space is going to show up. And, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there was a bunch like of games made. There was a bunch of memes made about how in the world does even King Kong even have a chance against Godzilla?
Right. Like, even... Yeah. I don't know.
But it'll be fun to watch.
Exactly.
And it's going to come out on HBO Max. Mm. And guess what, Sean?
What?
It's included in the service. You don't got to pay the $30 for it.
Nice. Even better.
Yes, that's the one thing that's, I need to get HBO Max because... You know, again, I need to watch the Harley Quinn animated show. I heard that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Hate watch Wonder Woman, apparently. And then get ready for the Godzilla vs. Kong and any other Warner Brothers property movie that's coming out this year. It's going to be both released on theaters and at HBO Max. Including, oh, and they announced, apparently they changed their mind on the Scott Snyder extended version of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
It went from being a four-hour episode miniseries to back to being a four-hour movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if I can sit and watch a movie for 4 hours, even at home. Like, I was really happy when they announced that it was going to be like 4 one-hour segments.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Are you caught up on WandaVision, Sean?
No, I am not. I haven't seen anything past the last two episodes yet.
So, a lot of people are complaining because the show is slow. I don't know what they're expecting out of the show. But, so, like, the third episode ended and something happened, and then basically the fourth episode goes back to in time with the person that ended on the third episode. And it's being told from her point of view as to how, like, she ends up in places, and they reintroduce characters back into the MCU, such as the FBI agent from Ant-Man and Kat Dennings' character, who is no longer an intern. She is actually a doctor now. But people are mad. They're like, I thought this fourth episode was going to open the show up. And it just left us back where we belong, because basically it ended at the same point that the third episode ended, but told you a completely different story. Like, it filled you in on the news that you needed to know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The show is like a slow burn, and I don't know why people don't enjoy it or appreciate it. I just hate them for that.
Do you, buddy?
I do, man.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it probably is going to be one of those things where, like, they're trying to build everything. Like, you know, Game of Thrones season one is very long because they have to introduce a lot of characters into it before it kind of gets going. So I could see how, you know, they need to add some characters into it and make it make sense before they move on. Because the first two episodes, it's just like random shit going on that has nothing to do with anything. It's just them trying to pretend that they're, you know, a normal couple in this area. We know there's other shit going on that's wrong, but we don't know what it is. And, you know, to your point, we do need to have, you know, add these characters in so it makes sense down the road.
Right, because this is basically setting up for both the Doctor Strange and Spider-Man movies.
Oh, really?
Because, and they firmly acknowledged, like, you would have to watch this to know everything that's going on in the Doctor Strange and the multiverse.
Yeah.
But I'm only assuming Spider-Man because it seems like they're doing a multiverse thing with Spider-Man, because they did cast all three Spider-Man actors for the movie.
Oh, really?
And they've been casting villains from across all three movies. Like, they cast Jamie Foxx from the Andrew Garfield movies, and they cast Alfred Molina from the not Topher Grace, the Sam Raimi movies, but I can't think of the actor that played him.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire. That's it.
Oh boy, he's back. Old Man Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, but they cast Alfred Molina
as Doc Ock. Oh boy.
And so, and I
don't what know a way sure. to salvage all that shit. Like, isn't that that's mind blowing?
Yes. And there's a YouTube channel. He's a stand-up comedian. Like, he's a regular on a podcast that I like the main host I know, called the podcast channel is the Grand Geek Gathering. But he has a YouTube channel where I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't have a time when I started. But basically his point is that Tom Holland is like the whitewashed version of Miles Morales. Which, like, without even watching his video, like, I'm like, he's not wrong, because like his friend is very much looks, at least before he lost all the weight for the new movie, he looked almost exactly like the best friend in the Ultimate Spider-Man comic.
Gotcha.
You know, and like other stuff too. So I mean, it makes sense. It's not wrong. He's not wrong. But Sean, I watched a couple movies though. I watched The New Mutants.
Ooh, what'd you think?
again, I don't know if it was because I just had the time of like listening to everybody complain about how much it sucked, or because I just went into it like I do with most movies with zero expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was told very interestingly. It's not the your traditional comic book movie where like you're going to see like superheroes fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they did like went more horror route with it and more like mind fuck type stuff.
Yeah, I mean that's what came in the trailer.
Right. Like
that's what I expected. But I expected it to be more of a horror. And yeah, these people might have powers, but obviously the villain is really fucking strong and it's fucking with them. Like there's a reason why they're all locked up and they don't have any hope.
Right. And like, you know, reading the I love like watching a movie that I know people didn't like, like that was like panned like this, and like reading the reasons why. And so like two of the characters, Maisie Williams and I can't remember the other actress. They basically like made them to have like a lesbian romance, right?
But then also everybody like, hates it.
But like they didn't really do anything. They kissed a couple times, but nothing like too graphic. But then you had like Anya Taylor-Joy, who is in the new who got really hot because she's in the Queen's Gambit now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the dudes are like basically having sex in a pool. So it's like people are like, oh. Someone was like talking about how like having the two girls kiss is like, you know, pedophilia and the stuff that Jeffrey Epstein would want to watch. But they completely ignored the fact that, you know, you had two underage kids. Like, oh, here it is. Like, what I got confused, Miss, is more the virtual signaling garbage SJW tripe than telling a good story. The mutant powers were apparently lesbian grooming propaganda, girl power garbage, underage jiggly boobs, anti-Catholic bigotry, mean girl biatch, and fake teen ink. Sound like fun? The creep factor was off the charts. Jeffrey Epstein didn't groom underage girls as shamelessly as this film pimps lesbianism to its primarily teenage and tween audience. And it's like, okay, so you're more upset about the two girls like having a couple like quick kisses on the lips than you are about the, you know, underage couple having sex in the pool because it was heterosexual sex.
Yeah, that's just like, yeah, no, I mean, that's basically how it is, man. I don't know, dude, it's ridiculous.
And like, I mean, I understand, like, people are complaining how, like a lot of the people are like, actually, in the comics, so between the SJW, like, the complaints about SJW bullshit and the actually in the comics is pretty funny, too. And it's like, have you not ever watched a comic book movie or even just a movie based on any book? Like they change things a lot. Like if you don't want to be disappointed by a movie based on a book, then don't watch the movie, because I don't think there's ever been one. Because even like Ready Player One, like my wife loved the movie, and I don't know how much she's read of the book, but I told her, I'm like, the book is completely different than the movie, because like, do you really want to sit there and watch somebody play video like Pac-Man for like 40 minutes?
No.
Right. So the challenge, because the challenges in the book were way more boring, and even in the book, like, he had to sound smart, because he would like make a reference and then spend like a half a page explaining the reference, and it's like, dude, we get it, you want us to understand this reference. Like, thank God they did that. If they did that in the movie, then it would be like even longer than the Scott Snyder cut of like smarky, like actually. But then I watched Bill, and I also watched Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Yeah, you did.
Dude, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. And it was a nice wrap-up to the story. And so it takes place years in the future from the other two, and they both are married to their princesses, and they have kids, and they're just experiencing problems because they haven't written the song that they were prophesized to write. And the two actresses that they got to play their daughters are them when they were younger. It wasn't even like somebody doing an impression. It was just like somebody like found them in girl form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't there a rule about that? Like I know there's like not like rule 34, but like the girl form of it.
I don't know. Maybe I believe it.
But yeah, like they act like them when they were younger, but it doesn't seem like it's being forced. It seems like that's just how the girls naturally act. Does that make sense?
Or, mm-hmm.
And then they cast Christian Schaal plays Rufus's daughter. and she's pretty good in the role. And they have like a quick scene with Rufus, of course, that's like cut scenes from previous movies that he was in. So they do pay an homage to him. They even bring back Death. Yeah, man, it's a fun ride. It's quick. So, you know, both movies are actually pretty short. Both are about an hour and a half long. So, like, neither of them are like, you know, the Scott Snyder cut where you have to, like, set aside, like, a whole afternoon to watch a movie. And then you know, a four-hour movie that sucks.
Get the pee buckets ready.
Yes. Oh, man, this beer is hitting me, dude. It feels good. So you, I was thinking about it as I was writing the show notes. I'm like, dude, this is the weebiest show we've done.
Is it, though?
From this point on, yes.
I guess
that's a warning. Like how some shows, like, if you don't want any spoilers, stop listening now. And it's like, dude, if you don't want the weeb, turn it off now.
Weeb, weeb, weeb. Weeb, weeb, weeb. Yeah.
So did you watch all of the second season of Quintessential Quintuplets, Sean?
If you mean the whole season of three episodes so far, yes, I have.
Oh, quick, I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Yes.
Hold on, I'm going to let you finish. But apparently, rumors have been confirmed, Sean, today. Breaking news. There is going to be a second season of Goblin Slayer. It's in production right now, as we speak.
Sweet. Sweet victory, yeah.
Carry on.
Oh, fantastic news. Fantastic. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm just so happy.
Because I'm happy.
Do, 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 do. All right. Quintessential Quintuplets is basically about the story of, you would have guessed it, five girls that are all twins, are basically quintuplets, and basically they're terrible at school, and they are hired by their father to have this tutor to work with them to get their grades up, and basically they're in the same grade, and he's trying to, and basically if he helps them, and they do well, then he's going to be able to get, like, a recommendation because, like, his family's poor and stuff like that. It's pretty wholesome, like, because, you know, I think especially in this season, there's been a lot more turmoil amongst the girls and how, you know, at one point, you know, they were all, like, the same person when they were growing up. And now that they're older, you know, they all have their own identities and there's kind of, like, a falling out between them that they're working through. And the other part, too, to the whole thing is that the main character has realized that when he was younger, he used to hang out with one of the twins. But that was when they all looked alike and kind of acted alike. So he doesn't know which one he hung out with. And so it's kind of interesting to kind of go through because he's trying to figure it out. So you have like so many different elements of the story kind of going on. And in the second season so far, you know, it's been a lot more about kind of the girls and their falling out and because they've been fighting amongst themselves. And, you know, they're finally kind of coming back together. So we'll see what the next like sub-series is about. But I think it's really, and it's interesting because my favorite part is right now is that when he was on the lake by himself, one of the girls dressed up like how you would think that the younger, like the girl he hung out with would look like later on, or he's imagining it or something like that. So it's very curious because I think one of the girls has figured out who he is and, like, why they're together. Because there is a picture of them together, so I think that's going to lead up. But I think overall, I think we all know that it's going to be the main sister that kind of introduced the story, like, that he first met in the original series. I think it's going to be her that's going to be end up being the little girl that she hung out with him. Because basically, you know, down the road they're supposed to get the anime says that they get married at some point later on in life. So, like, that does, they're eventually going to figure it out and, you know, have a happy ending. But we're in the stages of figuring out who it was. Who did it?
Right. Plus, you know, the fact that they made her the main girl doesn't really help in the lack of spoiling.
Exactly. So I think it's a pretty funny and wholesome show. Like I said, season one is already out there, and season two, I think they're on episode 4. So you got plenty of stuff to watch before you get caught up. Or if you wanted to, you could just wait for probably another 8 weeks or so, and then boom, you'll be able to watch both seasons.
Oh, I know, that's one that I want to watch, because I see like the figures pop up, and like the character designs are adorable. And they're, yeah, like, if you... wholesome, because I probably need something wholesome, Sean, after the couple of animes that you recommended.
I don't know why everybody says that to me.
So, Sean, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor.
Hold on, I got to tell the story about last night, because I think you'll appreciate it. So last night, I get ready to get on the PlayStation. It was about 11 o'clock, so I got, you know, I got to be up for another 3 to 4 hours so I don't mess up my sleep schedule. So I see my buddy Quills and Quattros online. They're playing Ghost of Tsushima. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in on this. And so I tell them, you know, throw me a party invite. And so I get into the party, and I just hear Quills go, oh, perfect timing. We were just talking about that show. And then Quattros proceeds to yell at me about how terrible the redo of a healer is and how I should be thrown away in jail. And I was like, whoa, what is with this hostility? I just joined the chat, and it's not, hey, how's it going? It's, I need to be thrown in jail. Yeah. It's like, whoa, bro. What's going on, man? Where's all this hate coming from?
And it's coming from the softies of redo of healer.
I guess.
And apparently it's weird because, like, I didn't know that, like, Hero High, the YouTube channel, like, had done anything about redo of healer, because I know he did a whole bunch of stuff on Uzaki-chan, and now he's doing a bunch of stuff on Miss Nagatori.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, a month ago or so, he did some videos on redo of healer and now apparently, especially in Europe, like, a lot of the streaming services in Europe are like, yeah, we're not even going to show this show, kind of like they did with Interspecies Reviewer.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first couple episodes. I haven't watched past what, like, last week.
Yeah, it updates on Wednesdays. There's only, I think, 3 episodes right now.
Okay, so yeah, I've only watched the first 2. So I'm 1.5 behind, because in a couple of days the new one will come.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was funny because he was just like, I don't understand the premise behind it. I'm like, how do you not understand the premise? Like, he's fucked up in the head and he's trying to seek revenge. Like, that's the whole premise of the whole fucking show. Like, I'm not saying it's a great show. I'm just saying, you know, there's a shock factor in there.
Right, and it's, you know, like, one of the points that Hiro High brought up is, like, you know, he was, like, in, like, before he went, like, he found the thing and went back in time to get revenge. And even, like, for part of the time when he was, like, he went back in time before he was able to get his revenge, like, he was being, you know, attacked and raped and all this stuff. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's bad, but it's whatever. And then as soon as he, like, gets revenge and, like, forces himself on the main girl, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, this show is garbage and you can't watch this.
Yeah. And then, like, it was because he was like, well, why did he go back through and do all those things to himself again? I'm like, dude, he's messed up in the head. Like, I don't. What are you looking for? Because he's like,
his goal wasn't a better life for himself. His goal was revenge. If his goal was a better life for himself, then he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But I also think maybe he knew that there was no way for him not to become like he would have been locked up in the castle anyways, because he can't just stop himself from becoming a hero. And they sensed him being a hero, and they found him.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he volunteered or he went and found them. They were able to sense it somehow, and they found him. So he knew he was screwed, and so he wasn't about living a better life. He was about getting revenge and either stopping him, like, just getting revenge, or even, like, I guess if there's some silver lining or wholesomeness to it, is stopping them from doing it to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was pretty funny because I was like later on, I'm like, he's like, hey, so recommend me some shows. I'm like, so you could yell at me later.
Oh man, but yes.
So there's two shows. I got him pretty good.
You did. That was pretty good. I mean, you're not wrong. So I was gonna ask the favor, Sean. Let me give all my thoughts on this show, and then I'll let you have the floor. Okay.
All right.
So the show is Hinsuki, are you willing to fall in love with a pervert even if she's cute?
I thought it was as long as she's cute.
Oh, as long as she's cute. Apologies.
I can't remember.
It's one of the two, yes.
Yeah.
I just
as long as I she's cute. I had to make sure. Yeah, I had to bring up Funimation because I knew I was going to mess up the title if I didn't have it in front of me.
Yeah, continue. I mentioned that too and I forgot. The beer. I blame it on the beer. So basically the story is
alcohol.
So the first episode, you know, he's you find out he's part of the calligraphy club, and there's a girl in there, and she's like stressed out because she's like is supposed to enter some competition, and so she's trying to perfect her calligraphy like entry. And he comes in, and the floor is just covered in paper and ink and everything. And she's like, "Oh, well, I'm gonna go home." And he's like, "Whoa, we gotta clean this shit up." And she's like, "Do I really?" And he's like, "Yes." And so he calls in like his little harem of girls to help clean up. And so they get the room clean and they finally clean up the room, and all that's left is like the buckets of dirty mop water. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I'm going to go ahead and dump these out. You can all go home. And so he takes them down, dumps them out and comes back, and he's like, oh, the window's open. And so he goes to close the window. And when he does, he notices there's a love note. There's a note, and he opens it up and it's a love note, but next to the love note is a pair of panties. And so the whole show is him trying to figure out who Undie Rella is, as him his friend dubbed her. Because you got to figure out
which is pretty clever. That is pretty clever, though.
Right. And so the main girl who was like trying to enter the calligraphy club, he's like, well, maybe it's her because she was in there. And so he like confronts her finally at the end of the episode, and he's like, hey, I know your secret, meaning the note. And she's like, you do? And she's like, he's like, yes. And he's like, okay. But I need you to close your eyes. And so he closes his eyes for a couple, and she's like, you can open it. And he opens his eyes, and her shirt is unbuttoned, and she has a dog collar and leash on. And she's like, I want to be treated like a dog. And so that's kind of the premise of the show, is each girl has their own weird, perverted thing. Except for the sister. Like, and I held out so much hope for this show that it wasn't going to be like a stepsister bullshit thing. Because even like there's a point where like he's going, giving a rundown. It's like, what if I wanted to treat a girl like a dog, and she's like, I would call the police. And he's like, what about this? And she's like, also the police. Like, this show is like so, like, it's like on the surface, there is so much of the show that is why people make fun of people that watch anime. But underneath, there's some pretty clever writing. Like the fact that he just like does not put like almost like Deadpool-esque breaks the fourth wall and doesn't put up with their shit. Like, the girl will do something, and he's like, okay, like, that's not weird at all. And then, some of the things that they, I wish I would have written more down, but the euphemisms, they come up for different things. Like, at one point, he calls calls panties a taco wrap.
Yes.
And then, he talks about going without panties. A girl without panties, he uses the term clamando. And loose cooch in it. So it's like, and then of course, I'm going to spoil the show, but like honestly, like you have to get past the cringe of like the fan service for the writing, because you of course you find out that it's the sister, and it's, of course they're not blood related because they're only like 5 months apart, and this idiot couldn't figure out that there's physically no way possible for siblings to be born 5 months apart.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought our parents got it on like right after I was born, and she's like, it doesn't, that still doesn't add up. But then like his friend that he's confiding in, when he finds out that it's a stepsister, my favorite line in anime now, just because of how like out there it is, if she's not blood, you can be a stud.
See, I didn't know what you meant when you first said that. I was like, what the fuck is that from? And I was like, oh, well, I'm like, whatever, I'll ask him later. And then I got to that episode, I was like, oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like underneath the fan service and just, like, the stuff that – the shit that anime fans deservedly get made fun of for is a very well-written, hilarious show.
Yeah, I think that's – that was, like – because it is very, it is very ridiculous, and they very push once every girl's kind of thing is exposed. It's like anytime they're like alone with him, like it just pops up, and he's like, "Oh my god, like stop, no."
And like, there's an episode where he's home, and like the main girl comes over, and like the sister goes to walk in and offer them tea, and he's like her face buried in her tits, and the sister's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were this kind of person." And he's like, "Emergency family meeting." And then the next girl comes over in similar awkward position, "Emergency family meeting part two." And then when she says that she's in love with him and that she's not really his blood sister, she yells, "Emergency family meeting."
No, I mean, to your point, the writing is so fun. And, like, even, like there was different parts where him and his friend would just start, like, acting differently, like, in their speech. Like, oh, no, what would I ever do in this scenario? Like, it was just, like, to your point, the writing is just, it's so fun to watch. I think it was one of the things that, you know, you have a dumb harem with, the pretty out there kind of premise. But just the writing is just so fantastic. It just makes you want to keep watching it.
I just realized I forgot to put a show on the list, Sean.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you watched much of it. The X-Eros?
I only watched one episode, like I told you.
All right. You fucking... Then we can talk about that next week.
You fucking drunk dumbass.
You and your pervy shows.
that was told Quatras told me about that one, so I blame him. He said he only heard of it, he never
Gecko.
Watched
I'll
it.
Give him that. Is he the new Gecko? I always forget names. Yeah, or is that Quill?
Quatras is the new Gecko.
Okay.
Yeah. New Quills is from Upside Down World.
Okay, Quills is Upside Down.
And by Upside Down, she's in Australia, for those that don't understand, that are outside the joke.
Actually, I told my wife, she didn't know this, but the whole flat earth conspiracy theory people that say that Australia isn't a real place and that anyone with an Australian accent is a paid NASA actor. Next time you talk to Quills, you should ask her how much NASA pays her to pretend like she's from Australia, a place that doesn't exist.
Maybe I will next weekend.
Yes, and like my wife looked at me like, wait, I thought she thought I was making it up, like I was the asshole for making crazy shit up, but I'm like, no, they believe that. that's a big part of the flat earth theory, is that there's no Australia.
What about South America and Africa?
Yo, those, that's as far down as it goes. Like,
what Australia's, about the rays in Africa?
Nope, they belong, they're there because they're not, they're north of Australia. Like, Australia's the only one that's fake, and New Zealand. Apparently, the Lord of the Rings was filmed in an astound stage, not in a place in New Zealand that people have been.
I'm pretty sure, and you know, don't quote me because I don't have a globe in front of me. Like, the tips of Africa and South America are more south than Australia.
You're wrong.
I guess I just don't know things.
I mean, you are an American, so it's not your fault you don't know geography.
I mean, I know where they are. I can at least
like there's a TikTok thing going around where it's like, tell me you're a blank without telling me you're a blank, and it's like, tell me you're not an American without telling me you're not an American, and it's like doing a quiz where they point, like, they accurately name all of the continents on the earth.
Good times.
Oh, man. But then you did recommend another show. I don't know. Did you watch all of this one, Sean? This one?
Yeah, I'm up to the late. I think there's four episodes for this one. The Hidden Dungeon Only I Could Enter.
Which sounds like even more like the most pervy name of them all.
he can only enter it because you have to say a secret passcode to get in.
Which is funny because when he goes in, the first time there's somebody else in there, so apparently he's not the only one that can enter it. Somebody else already entered.
Exactly. So basically, this kid that's not very powerful decides to become a hero. And ends up, I think, somehow ends up into a secret cave where he gives the entrance.
Because he has this power where he can, like consult this sage.
Yeah,
that's right. By sage. But, like, every time he uses it, it gives him basically, like, a debilitating migraine.
Correct.
But, like, he asks, he's like, how can I level up? And the guy's like, go to this area. There's a dungeon there. And you go through, you push this button. And it'll open up, and then when you get in, you have to go to the door and you say this. So he basically, his sage power told him where and how to get into the dungeon.
Yeah, and basically he ends up finding this this girl that's been lost, or this woman that's been lost for a long time, and
like
she
basically 200 years, I think they mentioned.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And she basically gives him his powers, and he has the ability to create skills and edit skills, and they use life points, and he has to do certain activities to get these life points, including, you know, eating good food and embracing happy moments, and of course, because it's anime, doing lewd things with the opposite sex.
Like as he put it, so you want me to be a hedonistic person? You want me to be a hedonistic person? which is my biggest argument about my complaint about the show, Sean. Not argument, but complaint. Because at some point he's had to have like done like lewd things and or eaten good food. Mm-hmm. Like when he starts off, his life points are low. They're only like 550. But like as the show goes on, he like gets boosted. Like he gets boosted up to like in the thousands. Yeah. I mean, I understand like you need shit like that for like the sake of the show, but like. Being a teenage boy, shouldn't his, like, life power be higher?
Maybe, unless it just started counting at that point, maybe.
Maybe. That's the only thing I could think of that would, like... Again, I don't know why I'm trying to, like, put, like, logic and realistic, like, thinking
to anime.
You're right.
All right, Quattros.
That's my bad. That's totally on me.
It's like one of those shows where like there's actually well meaning and he's like trying to help people, and like right now in the first story arc he has the ability to like read people's like stats, and so he found a girl that's basically gonna die on her 16th birthday because she's cursed, and he's trying to like work and figure out how to, you know, save her. So it's like you kind of have like, you know, he's a decent hero. Not trying to be, like, an overly jerk with a very bad, like, power that's going to make it to where, you know, he could do, you know, he has the power to save anybody, but, you know, at a cost, and enter anime perviness.
Right. And, like, basically in this society, there's, like, a caste system, and he's in the hierarchy of, like, the barons, but he's a baron, they call him a baronet, like, basically, like, they're common folk that volunteered to fight in the war, and as a thank you for fighting in the war, they're given a title, but all the people that were born into it don't actually respect it, of course, because they're still poor, but they just have a title on paper. So they're like, oh, you're not a real baron. You're just, you know, someone who like was given the title for not dying in the war, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely a lot of shit talking, and there's definitely a lot of like, lower class stuff kind of going on, so.
You know, like, I mean, it's weird, because it's like a wholesome show, but the writing is definitely not as good as, like, Are You Willing, the Hensuke.
Oh, so yeah, no, definitely.
I don't know if I could binge watch this one the way I did Hensuke. But, like, the fact that you said there's only 4 episodes, and then now that I'm, like, I only have to watch 1 episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I'm kind of curious. At least, like, it's sucked me in enough to know, like, how he's going to figure out the issue of solving the curse.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I mean, it's weird because me and you end up, like, at least once a year, twice a year, we end up watching a bunch of new stuff, and we can't binge it, and we got to keep up with it. But I think this is, I think it's good enough to keep up with. I don't, like, to your point, I don't know if it's going to be enticing to binge watch later on, but I think it's entertaining so far, and I want to see kind of where it goes now that I'm four episodes in.
Right, and as they're introducing more characters, like, the characters are, like, compelling enough, I guess, to where you actually, like, care about their fate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is why, like, I stopped watching The Walking Dead at one point, because I was like, you know what? Fuck them. They can all be zombies. I don't care. And that's when I realized, that's when I stopped watching the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't care if they lived. And I went from being, like, one of the staunchest, like, Walking Dead defenders, because everyone was like, oh, this is boring. It's like, no, dude, it's not. This is the most boring zombie show ever. And I'm like, dude, it's not a zombie show. It's a show about people surviving the zombie apocalypse, not about zombies.
Yeah.
You know, and I would defend it. And then I went from, like, defending it to, like, yeah, you know what? They can all be zombies. I don't care.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. But then, you know, thanks to, you know, algorithms and recommendations, I came across the recommendation for a show called Love is Like a Cocktail. It's 13 episodes, 3 minutes long, but with credits, each show is about 2.5 actual minutes of show. The show is basically, the premise is this woman has a job, but she you know, works at she works in the PR department for something to do with lemons. Like, they don't ever explain what her show is, other than there's, like, this lemon character that shows up in every episode, right?
Correct.
But she also can't handle her alcohol. And, like, her husband, you don't find out until later in the season that her husband is actually a bartender. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, is he just a stay-at-home husband that, like, is an amazing cook and, like, knows how to make drinks because he's just at home? Or does he have a job? And my wife's like, well, maybe he's a bartender. I'm like, yeah, that would make sense. But how about him, like, knowing how to cook all these amazing foods, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you do find out that he is a bartender. Or at least, yeah, you know, works at a bar at times. And so, because they do an episode of how they met.
Mm-hmm.
And she had never drank. But every time she drinks, it's funny because she'll, like, just... My wife related to the show so hard.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. I was like, why do I feel like this is your wife?
Because, like, my wife's blonde hair, you know, has blue eyes, and, like, she doesn't just drink alcohol. Like, she'll order, like, the girliest drinks, but doesn't drink very often. So when she drinks it, she's like, oh, this is so good. Chug. And then she's drunk. Like, she, you know, and if, in the show, it's funny because, like, she'll chug the drink. And of course, like, the hair, like, she, like, her hair's up in a ponytail when she, and, like, she's wearing her glasses when she starts to sit.
Yeah. That's, like, the funniest part, because she's, like, very proper. And she's, you know, her hair's, like, done nice in a ponytail. She's got her glasses. You know, she's just, like, really, like, serious and kind of quiet and polite. And it's, like, as soon as she's drunk, it's, like, animation. You know, pulls the ponytail out and, like, lets the hair down, pulls the glasses off, and just goes into, like, straight, like, chibi mode, like, all bashful and whatnot.
Yes, and that's very much my wife. Except my wife, like, there's a few words, for some reason, they sound hilarious to her when she's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like a breathalyzer in a way. Like, my wife's drinking, I can just, like, say something, and if she starts laughing and repeating it, then I know she's drunk. Like, the word combination of rude, road, for some reason she finds that hilarious when she's drunk. And, like, when she's sober, she'll deny it. But then when she's drunk, she'll be like, rude, road. And she'll start laughing.
You're just like, ma'am, you shouldn't be driving.
Right. But again, like, she'll order, like, the foo-foo girliest of drinks. Like, one of her favorite drinks is the TJ Friday's June Bug, and it has, like, Midori and Malibu coconut rum and 7-Up and grenadine. And so it's, like, not just sugar, but also, like, sugary alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll just, like, chug it like it's a shot, but it's, like, a full glass. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, calm down, dude. We haven't even gotten our food yet. Like,
the apps haven't even came out. What are you doing?
Right. Like, I'm like, I just barely, like, sipped my beer, and she's already, like, her glass is empty.
One more drink.
It's 13 episodes, about 2.5 minutes long. Like, it's like 40 minutes or so of TV watching time. But yeah, that was like only the second show I've gotten to watch with my wife, and she actually enjoyed it.
Oh, to watch like a full season?
To full season, yes. Because we started watching another one you recommended, Sean, and I don't even know if I like it. It's a little weird. And like, it also, like, the first episode caused me to like panic a little bit because my wife's like, I can totally relate to that. And I'm like, oh God, no. But the show is called I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying.
Yeah. And it's about like a normal girl that starts dating a neat or marries a neat.
And a neat otaku.
Yeah. It honestly, like, I've only made it through like 3 episodes and stuff, but it's like pretty funny. It's like, I have friends. You know, your internet friends, and then he, like, you know, goes to the corner, like, all dark, like, dark and cloudy, like, yes, and she's like, I'm sorry.
did I go too far?
Yeah.
So, did you make the episode where the brother came over?
I did, yeah.
Is that, but then it's a sister, but then it's a brother, like, I don't know, man, I'm confused. Even I'm, yeah. Like, Jody's like, do you understand what's going on? And I'm like, not 100%. I know some of the terms they're saying, but I really... Like, Love is Like a Cocktail, because both shows are the same length, right? 3 minutes long?
Yeah.
About. But Love is Like a Cocktail, like, told a very, like, it told the full story. Like, it didn't, and it feels like with this one, I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying, like, mm-hmm. It almost needed to be, like, a 5-minute long episode, because they tried to fit too much in sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, no, this one is very, it goes very quick. It's, yeah, but that, yeah, to your point, it's like, Love is a Cocktail was like, it feels like it was written to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds, where this one is probably, it feels like 4 minutes compacted into something a little bit smaller. But yeah, it's his little brother, but the brother looks like is like basically a trap.
Who writes, so, like, anime porn of his brother?
Yeah, basically.
And so, like, the first step, like, the third, where the brother showed up, they're like, it's like he comes over because he's like needs to write, but he doesn't want to do it at home because he doesn't want the parents giving him shit. And then it's like, he's like, well, I should go. And then the wife's like, well, he can stay the night. And the brother's like, are you sure? And then the brother, like, does something weird. And then the next scene is him, like, on the subway, like, going home.
Yes. Yeah. And then in the next episode, like, they get invited to go to like a non-board meeting, and so they go to like the bar with like the group, the community, and like they're talking and stuff, and the guy that's organizing it is hitting up the husband like, dude, your little sister's like super cute, man, like, are you cool if I go at her? And he just gives like the awkward like thumbs up and just like totally sets him up. And then like later on, it's just like, yo bro, she's got a tree. Like, it's like super like ridiculous. Like, he's like, and then because like the wife's like, wait, why is he going out with him? Is he? And then the husband's like, it's a sacrifice. Don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about it. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, but like the first episode, after we finished watching, because I think we only watched 4. I think I'm like 1 episode ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I was like, wait, when you said when we finished up and we had like actual, like we're talking, I was like, wait, so am I that bad? Like, you're like, I can relate to the first episode. Like, because there was a point where it's like, I want to go out, and the husband's like lying on the couch, like, and he's like, no, I want to stay home. And then like they go watch a movie together, and they finally, she talks him to going out, and they go to watch a movie, and she's like, well, I'm assuming you're gonna want to watch this anime because, you know, and like the way he makes money is he does like blogging, and so he's like, well, yeah, I got to do this for my blog. And I'm like, oh fuck, like, I can understand that part, because there's a lot of times where it's like, I got to do this for the podcast.
Right.
But I also am smart enough to like make it worth her while. Like, there's a brewery that I've been wanting to go visit in Stanton, which is basically where, you know, I'm gonna go full California here, the 405 and the 22 meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you've experienced outside of California, people don't say the in front of the freeway.
I get criticized for saying the.
Right. But it's basically opened up in one of those like fancy like food court type places where it's all like a bunch of different like almost like food trucks, but they're like brick and mortar inside of one building. And so there's a brewery that I wanted to try called Bearded Tang, which is named after a fish, and the fish has like a beard and mustache and like a, and like their German lager, it's smoking a pipe.
Or German pilsner. I mean,
like a German pilsner is like smoking a pipe and wearing like the German hat, you know. but I've been wanting to try it, and she's like, and so I showed her like the Instagram post of the restaurants there, and she's like, oh yeah, this place has a lot of quite a few restaurants I want to try. And so like I know that if I want to try a brewery or something like that, like, or do something, as long as I feed her good food, she doesn't care what I do with it. Yeah. You know, so it's like, I want to go try this brewery, and she's like, I want to try this restaurant because they have lobster rolls. And she actually ended up getting the lobster fries, but still, I'm not like this dude. And so, and so like I had to like, I'm like, so what did you mean? Like, she's like, well, you're not that bad, but there was like, like on the surface I could relate to some of that, like you having to do like a, like he said, for the blog, you say you have to do stuff for the podcast, and I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, but at least you bribed me. He didn't seem to bribe her. He seemed very selfish. You're not selfish.
Right.
I'm like, okay, good. Because I thought the show was going to, like, lead to our divorce.
How one anime ruins a marriage.
Yes. but yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm not that much of an asshole. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, good.
I mean, yeah. I think you're that much of an asshole, but...
You know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not at least partially asshole, but, you know, I'm not that much of one. I feed her, and that's all that matters. But the beer was good. I ended up, like, when I was there, I had their Bohemian Pilsner, which was really good. And then they named their Mexican lager a very clever name. There was a few years ago, there was a Republican in the in Congress that was very, like, anti-gay rights towards marriage and stuff, but then like he got caught in the bathroom like tapping another dude's foot, which is like I guess the bathroom symbol towards you down because I'm down. And of course his defense when it came out was like, I just have a white stance, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, nobody has that wide of a stance. That's fucking weird. Like, keep it in the lines. Keep it in the lines, dude. But then he also got caught sending dick pics, which is hilarious because his name was Anthony Weiner. But his dick pics that he sent was like through this, I can't remember what app it was or whatever, but his screen name on there was Carlos Danger.
Oh my god.
So that's the name of the Mexican lager at Bearded Tang, Carlos Danger.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, good times.
Very much so. So that was very good actually. And then they had a sale going up over the weekend for their German Pilsner, and that's where I got the cans that had the can art of the German fish with the beard and the pipe and the German hat.
Oh, okay, that sounds pretty cool.
I haven't tried it quite yet, but yes, I'm on a Pilsner push lately.
Ooh,
because I don't like IPAs, John, as you know.
I know you don't.
But I like Pilsners because they just have like enough hoppiness to let you know there's hops there, but they're like kind of fluffy and cloudy and very smooth and easy, like a light, easy drinking beer.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that and like this anime also shows the importance of communication because, like, you know, if I would have just left it at her saying I can relate, I could have been all like angry and whatever, as opposed to like asking her what she meant.
Mm.
Talk to your significant others is what I'm saying, because there's, you see all these movies all the time where people are like, if you would just talk to each other, there would be no movie. But yet in real life, people don't talk.
Exactly.
But then again, I'm just drunk, so I don't know what I'm saying.
the drunk ramblings of Daniel.
Exactly.
Well, that's it for today's show. Hopefully you got something out of it. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, all those fantastic places. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and on Untappd.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Danny's missing.
I was thinking, I'm like, did you miss? No, I don't think you missed. You're good.
Fair enough. Well, stay tuned for another episode. We'll get Danny drunk to give some more worldly wisdom next time.
Drunken marriage advice with Daniel. If we were better at like the show and if we were better at podcasting and technology, we could even have its own little theme song.
Maybe not that one, but you know.
Like that's like the ESPN Sports Center update.
Goblin Slayer season 2 coming up.
I did see a TikTok where someone's talking about like the struggles of being a Wisconsin sports fan, and they're like posted all the times Milwaukee lost in like the playoffs, and then all the times Green Bay lost in the playoffs. And I was gonna send it to the group chat, but I didn't want to make you or Mike sad today.
It's okay. I saw it already, so I would have I would have been ready for it.
Your body was ready. Nintendo dude.
Body, mind, and soul.
All right, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
Later.